Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hi, I'm Joffrey McClung, and this is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. Now, I want to start this show off by celebrating the passing of my beloved Pooh, who was a kitty cat who was 2 months from turning 20. He was an ex-feral cat that my mother rescued and whom I promised her I would care for once she passed from cancer. Now, the two girl cats died 2 years apart, one at 14 and one at 16. But Pooh, the one male, lived to be almost 20 years old. He taught me so much. He taught me to let go of control. Although he had been taken in and neutered and given his first round of shots as a kitten, I could never pick him up and take him to the vet again. This was very hard for me. I've had many animals throughout my life and take them all to the vet. Some for routine shots and checkups, some for specialty work. They had become sick. However, Pooh taught me differently. He showed me that the universe does have all the people's backs, including animals that can't be taken to the vet. I now have faith in the universe that even the animals who can't go to the vet are still cared for by the living universe. And clearly he was, since he made it almost to 20 years old. Now, he was a scaredy cat. You had to bend a certain way in order to pet him. You couldn't go too fast towards him, or he'd get all scared. But when he was the last remaining ex-feral kitty cat in my home, he shifted. He had never gotten on the sofa. The girl cats, of course, did. They even slept with me. But he had never done that. However, for the last 3 years of his life, he got on the sofa and would lay right next to me. In fact, he's the only one of the cats who actually laid on me. Although in the beginning he would stand on my chest and stare into my eyes until I felt I had to move him so I could watch TV. Now, he never purred. I don't know, maybe his mother didn't teach him, but nonetheless, he was very lovable. I'd asked the universe to help him make it through the holidays, and they did. We had a lovely Christmas and New Year's together, and then he died 10 days later. He was a blessing, and he taught me about letting go of my control and accepting him the exact way he was. He will be missed as a teacher, a pet, and a furball of God. The good news is, I only lasted a week without an animal in the house. I had never had a house in my entire life without an animal in it. I now have a 5-month-old little kitten who purrs so loud he can shake the house. And not only does he lay on me, but he cuddles around my neck. I will share more about this new kitten in next month's show on what I learned in finding this little cute kitten. I just wanted to share this story to remind us all that we learn what we need to learn from those around us, including our pets. So pay attention. The universe may be telling you something. Now, in today's inspiration segment, I'm going to show you why the phrase "to each their own" is an inspiration. And your homework segment will focus on our inner peace and give tips on how to find it. Both of these segments should be uplifting and hopefully change some minds along the way. Oh, and one more quick note before we move on to the author. I've had some issues with my website, and I want to let everyone know that if they went to my website and did not receive an affirmations booklet by signing up on my website, please do so again. I'm now getting notifications of people who want the affirmations booklet, so I apologize for any disruption if you did not receive it. Just sign on again, and I will email you the affirmations booklet. Okay, I'm done. Now on to our author. Deborah Mallow, I'm so sorry I butchered your name, Deborah Mallow is an inspiring motivational speaker, a seasoned positive energy success coach. The Daily Decisions and Deborah's Positive Energy Club is not about forcing positivity. It's about approaching life differently, changing negative habits into positive ones to make life a little easier. Before she moved into becoming a motivational speaker, sorry, I did a lot of talking this morning. Before she became a motivational speaker, she attended college at Syracuse University, where she studied textile design and business. She had her own design and licensing company for years before joining Johnson & Johnson and becoming the number one ranked dermatology biotech sales rep year over year. However, she felt something was missing. Deborah transformed personal struggles into simple action items and strategies and found her sunshine. She is the author of the book, 6 Steps to Fewer Days That Suck, Ditch Unhealthy Habits, Unzip a Happier You. She shares strategies, solutions, stories, and some science to turn negative habits into positive ones. Hello, Deborah. Welcome to my show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Joffrey, and hello to everyone listening.
Well, we're going to start the show the way I start all shows. Where were you born, Deborah, and what did you dream of becoming when you grew up?
I was born in Manhattan, New York. I still live here. I love it. I thrive here. It has such great energy. And growing up, well, I always thought I would be an artist because my parents were creative and they were artists. And that's what I was surrounded by. So that's what I did. That was the first chapter of my life.
So your parents were artists. What kind of art did they do, Deborah?
My father was a fantastic painter, but they were fashion designers. My father had such a great flair for it. My mom supported him. She actually started the business. And this was when most women are more than today, of course, stayed home and raised families, but my mom was, she just loved getting out there and being entrepreneurial and building something. And they really built something quite special together and worked well together. And they chose to live in Manhattan and not move into the suburbs because they wanted to have dinner with us, with my brother and myself every evening and foster nurturing home life.
Did that lead you to do your textile work? I know you were in textiles when you went to college, correct?
Absolutely. And that's exactly what happened. I was surrounded by fabrics and buttons, and my parents had me work at a mill one summer when everything was in the United States. And it was just really special. I loved the texture and the feeling and everything about it. So that's what I was going to do, and I did it. And then for many years of my life, first I worked at home furnishings companies, sheets and bedding, and then I transitioned. My husband wanted to start our own business and license my designs to home furnishings and gift products, and we did bedding and shower curtains and dinnerware and tablecloths and book covers, like journals and that kind of thing.
I got
stationery.
You. Let me interrupt you. When you were a child, were you always upbeat? Were your parents upbeat, or did you learn that later?
So, funny enough, my dad was a cockeyed optimist. My mother may be a little more of a realist, and I sort of got something in between. But I was always an overachiever, which put a lot of pressure on myself. But outwardly, I always tried to be positive and friendly and all of that, but inside, it wasn't always that way, Joffrey.
Oh, well, I don't think anybody inside stays one way. That's the truth. But I just was curious if as a kid you were upbeat. But so you majored in college in textiles and business. What did you learn from doing business? I know you were working for Johnson & Johnson for quite a few years.
So I just got the basics. I didn't really major in it as much as I took classes in business, and I really find that interesting, of course, because my parents although they were creative, they had a business. So it was something that was in my blood, something that surrounded me. So I thought it would make sense. I took psychology, I took business, and then, of course, the core arts courses and then textiles. So I really love to learn. I always push myself to learn new things and embrace the learning curve and grow. So I was like that when I was younger as well, and it's been that way. I'm a lifelong learner. I bet you are too, Joffrey. You seem like you're a lifelong learner from everything that I know.
Well, learning certain areas, not
you.
Learning book-wise in the sense of school. I was not a very good school student, but I did read a lot of books that interested me. Well, let me ask you, you talk about you overcame some struggles. Can you share? I think it's important for the audience to know what you did overcome so they'll know that even though they may not be upbeat now, they can become upbeat. What did you overcome?
Absolutely. Well, as I mentioned to you, I was an overachiever, and I remember at 10 doing this. My biological alarm clock would get me up at 3 in the morning so I could do my book reports or whatever. And
wow,
this actually, the putting that pressure on yourself, it doesn't make you happy all the time because it's not like you're competing with other people. You're competing with yourself to do better and better and better. And that's what happened throughout my life in the design portion of my chapter in my life, as well as at Johnson & Johnson, where I was, as I told you, a number one ranked sales rep. And I would do this over and over. I was competing against myself, putting pressure on myself. And I truly sort of went into a funk, meaning I felt the negativity. I felt exhausted because, like getting up at 3 in the morning, I did that as an adult. And I would push myself to get ready for the day so that I could manage everything, control everything, and drive myself
crazy. So you were your own worst
enemy
in a way, Deborah. You were your own worst enemy, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely my own worst enemy. I mean, we all can be. We can be our best our enemy or our ally. And as I mentioned to you, I was standing on a New York subway platform, and all of a sudden, I was overwhelmed and tears came down my eyes, not like emotionally so emotional, but just the pressure of everything. And I said to myself, I remember it so clearly, if I don't change, nothing will ever change. I need to make the change. And that's how I started to write Six Steps to Fewer Days That Suck, though then it was called, like my website, which I didn't have then, it was called The Daily Decisions. And I started writing all these things that I needed to do, and I would research the science, and I would read stories about people, and I would ask myself questions and figure out solutions and little tips and mantras I could say.
Right. Well, let me ask you, you talk about resilience. Did resilience play a big role in your life as a younger person?
I would say that I'm very resilient, meaning that, because you said, am I optimist? I am an optimist. I believe that good things will happen. That's, and if I just focus and put, not always, of course, I'm not delusional or DeLulu, as they say.
Right,
now.
Right.
I love the DeLulu. But I always put my best foot forward and feel that it's going to be okay. And I think that is what helps my resilience, because we have choices in life, right? And that's what I realized on the subway platform. We have choices. We could pick ourselves up and move forward, or we can wallow in our misery and pull ourselves down.
Well, I've done both of those things, to be honest. I've picked myself up and I've wallowed in my misery as well. Well, I like the fact that
human nature, right?
Didn't you lose a job? I read something about in your book. You lost a job because you were curt on the phone with somebody. You lost your patience or something. Is that true?
Well, I didn't lose my job because they valued me, but I was called on the carpet. It was very humiliating.
Okay.
I and this was the same time that that whole thing happened on the subway platform, and I realized I had to change. All of this was happening at one time. Usually, things happen all at once in threes anyhow, somehow. I don't know why, but it does. And all of this was happening, and I somehow, I didn't lose my job. They kept me, but it brought pause to my life. I said, I cannot, because I was very frustrated by someone on the phone, and they weren't doing their job. But just because somebody isn't doing what you want them to do doesn't give us the right to be rude, to be angry, and not be considerate, be tolerant. And you can't control other people. So once we realize that, and we all know it, but it's actually saying, okay, we can't control them. We could do the best we can, and it's not worth our peace or our energy to lose our temper. And so I made a vow to myself, and look, I'm human, like we're all human. I still struggle, but I'm able to control my words, my thoughts. I stop before reacting. I breathe. I know that's something that, oh, they say it, but it really works. And I think
does.
About a conflict.
You're right. Breathing does help.
Yeah.
Well, and I think...
I don't do that anymore. I think
well, that's
twice.
Good.
And I think everybody can do it. That's the thing. We can control our thoughts. We can control our reactions.
Yes, we can. Let's move on to your book real quick. We're kind of getting close to, in your first chapter, you wrote, the book is called Six Steps to Fewer Days That Suck, Ditch Unhealthy Habits, Unzip a Happier You. Now, in the first chapter, you have a great self-proof, never stop learning, which you talked about, giving yourself room to brainstorm. And as you say, Wayne Gretzky says you miss 100% of your shots you don't take. Why did you think this is so important to include that little self-proof in there?
Because we have to take pause, and we can change our lives. If we're frustrated, we can change the trajectory of our lives if we choose to. And I'm definitely an achiever. Now I'm not as much an overachiever as I just like to move forward, do things that are my passion, and it brings me satisfaction. Accomplishment brings everybody satisfaction. It raises our self-esteem and our confidence and everything. So what I say is, if you don't do anything, like Wayne Gretzky said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. If you don't have the confidence, if you don't shed the insecurity, if you don't have the determination, you're not going to get where you want to be. We all dream and we all have these hopes and wishes for ourselves, but if we don't take action, nothing's happening.
I hear you on that. Now, you talk about in your book changing bad habits. Now, I happen to think some bad habits come from negative beliefs that need to be changed.
Yes.
How do you change some bad habits?
It takes time. And I say to everyone, the people I coach and everything, that what we need to do is give ourselves permission to take the time to start slowly thinking about what we shouldn't do when the negative thoughts, the circular thinking, we're human, the negativity bias, because from the caveman era, we're sort of programmed to focus on the negative more than the positive, but we can.
Well, that's just negative thinking. I was talking about negative beliefs. You have to do some homework on negative beliefs. But you were saying to change your bad habits by being positive. How do you do that?
Make the decision to actually do it and give yourself permission to fall down and then get back up. You were talking about the resilience and keep trying, because the brain loves patterns, and if we develop these patterns where we stop the negative thinking and we reinforce the positive thoughts, we don't go down a rabbit hole, slowly but surely, because our brain loves patterns, this is what happens. We really can reshape our thoughts, retrain, as we say, our brain, and think more positively. I'm not going to say that every day you're going to be perfect. There's no such thing. But to have more good days than bad days, not to feel stuck in your life, but to find the joy, we can do it. And I'm proof. And people I coach, they're proof.
Well, I think finding your joy is following your excitement moment by moment, even if it's just putting a smoothie in a blender to drink it. We have been talking with Deborah Mallow. Am I saying your last name correct? Mallow?
Yes, you are.
Okay, thank you. Who wrote the book, Six Steps to Fewer Days That Suck, Ditch Unhealthy Habits, Unzip a Happier You. When we come back from this commercial, we're going to get a little more into her book. We're going to ask her about intuition and nurturing your own fire to fulfill your passions as well. This is a great, we'll have a great conversation after this commercial. I'm Joffrey McClung. This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
No matter what is happening on the outside, to make a difference, work on the inside. You are part of the fabric of life. Have a positive impact on yourself and others. Take a break from the dark side. Listen to the positive side of podcasts. HRNradio.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. McClung, and this is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. We are speaking with Deborah Mallow. Six Steps to Fewer Days That Suck, Ditch Unhealthy Habits, Unzip a Happier You. How important is following your intuition?
Very important, if you ask me, because our brain collects all this data from all the things that happen through our lives. And what happens is when something happens or about to happen, the brain starts firing the neurochemicals. It alerts us. We talk about a gut uneasy feeling. When we feel that, there's truth in it because of all the data that's been collected, and our brain knows to protect us from the red flags, the danger that we could get ourselves into. Just like if you have a cup of coffee on the edge of a table, your brain tells you move it. Sometimes we don't. But also in general with other people, our brain alerts us if something is off or we should be careful. And it's very, very important to follow our intuition, to take heed, as I say, to obey the premonition, because there's something to it. And if our sixth sense urges us to go forward, you know, a lot of times we should consider saying, yes, we should. So there's truth in it. The science backs it, too.
I hear you. Well, you know, you talk about in your book, and I did enjoy your book. Everyone should get this book. It's quite eye-opening. Why nurturing your own fire is important to fulfilling your passions. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Absolutely. We all have these yearnings, these desires, these daydreams, things that we want to accomplish. Some of us take the leap forward and some of us don't. But when we accomplish, and think about it, even just doing the dishes, it could be as simple as that. When we accomplish things, we feel proud. We feel good. It lifts our self-esteem. And following your passion, doing things you love, it doesn't seem like work. It's enjoyable. It lifts our self-esteem, builds confidence, and makes us feel good. Following our purpose, following our passion is just so, if you ask me, important for living an intentional, enjoyable, successful life. And success, I'm not talking about being famous or anything. I'm talking about being successful internally, feeling that you accomplished what you went after. What everybody wants is different. Our quest is different, but we need to honor ourselves and go after it because it does make us feel good. Life's too short not to enjoy.
Oh, you got that right. Totally got that right. Well, you know, you talk about your past mistakes are meant to guide you, not to define you. Can you explain a little bit about that lovely phrase?
Absolutely. Yes. We tend to feel other people are judging us. We judge ourselves against other people. But we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to have, and I don't like the word failure. I renamed failure. I call it education and growth. So when we have these mistakes, these glitches, or if you want to call them failures, think of it as a gift. Think of it more as helping you figure out how to get to the next step. They're like learning tools and cues to move us forward. And it's just, life in general is just how we want to define it. We want to see the negative, we want to see the positive. And honestly, I've made the decision, I'd rather see the positive. It feels so much better.
Oh, you've got that right. We always make a decision what we're going to feel, and you can choose to feel crapola or wonderful. It's your choice, people.
Right.
Let me ask you this. You say it's important to be front and center in your life. I happen to believe that's totally true. I don't like people who make them small, which I used to do, to make other people comfortable. Why do you think it's important to be front and center in your life?
As I mentioned, life is short. We shouldn't let other people define us. We need to define ourselves, what we want, our purpose. Share our gifts outward. And that means also helping other people, being grateful for what we do have, even as small as, and it's not small, it's big to me, as a sunrise, appreciating it, not having an abundance mentality versus that scarcity mindset where we don't believe there's enough for everybody. There is. There's so many opportunities out there. It's just a matter. Some people will go after them and some people won't. And I don't want to ever make anybody feel badly because we've all been stuck. We all judge ourselves or compare ourselves to others. And that's what I've stopped doing. Because there's no reason to compare yourself to anyone else. Define yourself.
You can't. Everybody has their own path. And nobody's path is the same as yours. That is completely true. I think everyone, 6 Steps to Fewer Days That Suck. I think everyone should get this book. It's an easy book to read. She has little subtitles in each area. I think they were called The Commitment, Start Now, Key Takeaway, Flip the Script, In a Nutshell. It's a very easy book to read. Deborah, if somebody gets one idea out of your book, what idea do you hope they get?
The one idea that I would love everyone to do is, and we talked about it, Joffrey, is be kind to themselves. Add some self-love into your day. It's not selfish. It's important, because think about this. If we don't feel good about ourselves, we're not good for anyone else. If we're circular thinking and worrying about what others think of us and all those things, we're caught in our own brains. We're in the negative zone, and we're not.
No, I hear you.
Being
self-love
good for
is vitally
people.
Important, and I think your book is full of self-love. I know you're full of self-love. I've cried on the subway platform as well in the past. Deborah, where can people, I'm not kidding you. Where can people get your book and follow you?
So my book will be in bookstores. You can come to my website, which is thedailydecisions.com. You can get it on Amazon. You can get a hardcover or a paperback, whatever you like. And it's bright colors. It's a zipper, unzipping a happier life on the front. Turquoise and yellow, very happy. And well, if you come to my website, thedailydecisions.com, and you go
thedailydecisions.com/. You are a piece of sunshine, Deborah. You've been quite delightful. I think everyone should get this book. We've been speaking with Deborah Marlow, 6 Steps to Fewer Days That Suck, Ditch Unhealthy Habits, and Unzip a Happier Life. We'll be back after this commercial.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
For the best in business class travel, count on Cheapo Air. Cheapo Air has the best price guarantee, 24/7 customer service, and easy booking online or by phone. To experience your hassle-free journey, start by going to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Cheapo Air.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
Discover the world's largest anti-aging organization, Life Extension. For the best information, vitamins, and supplements, you just can't beat Life Extension. To start extending your life, go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Life Extension banner.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Uplifting Talk. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, this is Joffrey McClung in Spiritual Common Sense. This inspires me. We all need to be inspired to go beyond what we've known, to do what we've longed to do, but we're afraid to do it. to remember that life is to be a great adventure and to not let worries or fears make it simply mundane. My hope is this segment will encourage you, move you, and enthuse you to also become an inspiration for others. This month's inspiration is the phrase, to each their own. To each their own is a Latin phrase, and it was based on the concept of the Greek ideas of justice. Plato defined it thus: justice is when everyone minds his own business and refrains from meddling in others' affairs. This concept is desperately needed in this world where we have bullies running many countries and telling us exactly how we're supposed to live. Now, here's a short story highlighting the importance of honoring to each their own. In a quiet suburban neighborhood of Willow Creek, two houses stood side by side, each reflecting the personality of its owner. On one side, Mrs. Henderson's property was a picture of precision. Her lawn was a lush green carpet trimmed to the exact height with perfectly aligned flowers bursting with vibrant colored blooms, each meticulously chosen for their season. On the other side, Mr. Davies' yard was a riot of nature tall, wild grasses swayed in the breeze, interspersed with rambling vines and a variety of native wildflowers that bloomed in haphazard yet beautiful patterns. Mrs. Henderson took immense pride in her garden, spending each hour every week tending to every detail. She often found herself peering over the fence, frowning at the chaos that was Mr. Davis's yard. It's just unkempt, she'd think to herself. How can anyone let their property look like that? Mr. Davies, meanwhile, enjoyed the freedom of his untamed yard. He believed in letting nature take its course, finding beauty in the randomness of it all. He watched the butterflies going between the flowers, the hummingbirds hovering over the honeysuckle vines, and the occasional deer grazing in the tall grass. He often chuckled to himself when he saw Mrs. Henderson meticulously weeding her flower beds, thinking to each of their own. One sunny afternoon, as Mrs. Henderson was diligently pruning her rose bushes, Mr. Davies approached her with a friendly smile. "Lovely roses, Mrs. Henderson," he said, gesturing to the vibrant blooms. "Thank you, Mr. Davies," she replied, a bit guarded. "Though I must say, your yard, well, it could use a bit of tidying up." Mr. Davies chuckled. "I like it that way. It's a little sanctuary for the wildlife. You should see the hummingbirds here in the summer." Mrs. Henderson paused to consider her words. She'd never thought of her garden as a place for wildlife, only a place to showcase her gardening skills. As they chatted further, she began to see the beauty in Mr. Davies' wild approach and how it provided a different kind of aesthetic. From that day forward, a subtle change, of course, occurred in their relationship. Though they still maintained their distinctive styles, they began to appreciate each other's perspectives, realizing that to each their own was just not a phrase, but a way to respect the diverse ways people choose to live and care for their spaces. This story highlights the idea that when people have different preferences, it's important to acknowledge and respect their choices, as long as they're not harming anyone else. Too many of us like to tell people how they should live and what they should do. However, not enough of us respect other people's journeys and pathways. We all have different versions of the divine or God or goddess, or whatever you want to call it, and we try to live up to those ideas that we're given and we're now living. And there's nothing wrong with living your belief system. But there is something wrong forcing others to live up to your belief system. Many of us know that our reality is created from our belief systems. And again, many of us are working to change our belief system to be more loving, expansive belief systems so that we can add more love into our lives. To each their own is a concept allowing others to look at their belief systems and decide whether they need to change them or not. And to each their own is also a way that we honor other people's paths, just like the story said. One person preferred a well-manicured, perfectly laid-out garden to her preferences, while the other one preferred a wild, unmanicured garden for his wildlife. Was one right and one wrong? Hell no! Both were correct for the individual making those decisions. One preferred order, while the other preferred a bit more chaos. And neither is right or wrong. It's just a preference. So many of our world's troubles are trying to make people live the way we want them to live. We scream, your religion is wrong, mine is correct. We scream, how you see the world is how everyone should see the world. We scream, I'm right and you are wrong. This is a sign of allowing our small ego to make the decisions for us. What if we allowed everyone to live their life just as they so choose? You may feel that at conception a baby is born, while I may feel that at conception a vessel is born to hold the soul if the woman chooses it to come in. I can argue with someone and say, you're wrong, that my God is not as hateful as yours, and that no soul is lost if somebody has an abortion. But I'm not going to change their belief system around. And nor should I. That particular belief system is serving the purpose of that individual, just as my belief system, saying no soul is lost if the vessel's not allowed to mature, serves my purpose and my journey. This is where to each their own can relieve some of the tension we're feeling in this world right now. I may not agree with other people's belief systems, but I can honor the right to have them as long as they don't force their beliefs upon me. Just as Plato said, justice is when everyone's minds their own business and refrains from meddling in others' affairs. We all have our unique paths to walk on our earth journey. We all have many lessons that we wish to learn during this incarnation. How fantastic would it be if we all honored our individual paths, not judging them, did not ridicule them, and did not try to change them, but just honored the path of each individual. There's a reason there's great diversity on this planet and many different viewpoints of how we're supposed to live. I think one of the lessons of our diversity is to learn to honor and respect each other's paths. If we practice this phrase, so much negativity would be removed from this world that we just wouldn't believe it. And that's why this month's inspiration is to each their own, allowing each person to live their chosen path. This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
If you want a master class on how laws can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
If you're not in the U.S., listen up. SureTrader is one of the most trusted and reliable names in share trading. With 6-to-1 leverage and other perks, SureTrade is the best for penny stocks and day trades. To find out more, visit our advertiser page and click on the SureTrader banner.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
Hi, I'm Dr. McClung, and this is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. Now, we're going to begin with a short story that highlights this month's spiritual homework, which is Inner Peace. It's from the book Passionate Presence, written by Catherine Ingram. Long ago lived a young man in Istanbul, Turkey. Pardon my mouth, it worked a long day today. Because he was poor, he had only a single room, sparsely furnished with a few books and a small cot for a bed. One night, the young man had a dream, a vision, really. In it, he saw himself walking on a street, and what he realized was the street of Cairo in Egypt, a place he had never been. He could clearly see the name of the street and the houses that lined the road. In the vision, he walked up to one particular house, noting the address. He entered into a tiled courtyard and then into the main house. An open door drew him into a particular room within the house. In this room sat an old man surrounded by treasures beyond anything the young man had ever imagined. Diamonds, emeralds, and rubies were piled high in pyramid shapes. Gold and silver bars lined the walls. Exquisite carpets and artifacts from around the world laid at his feet. The young man stared at the treasures and then at the old man in amazement. For in that moment, he somehow knew that these treasures belonged to himself. He didn't know how he knew. It was a vision, after all. But he was certain that all of this was rightfully his. The young man bolted awake from the dream. So confident was he in the veracity that he set off the very day on a long journey for Istanbul to Cairo in order to claim his treasure. In those days, travel was slow, and the young man, being poor, had to work along the way to pay for food and lodging. After several months, he eventually arrived in Cairo. Upon making the inquiries, he found the very street he'd seen in his dream. As he set foot upon it, everything seemed completely familiar. The houses were exactly as he'd seen them in his vision. And sure enough, the house in that dream had contained the old man, and his treasure was precisely what the young man expected it to be. Knowing his way, he entered into the tiled courtyard and then into the room of treasures where he planned to make his claim. There sat the old man, but there were no jewels, no gold or silver, no carpets or artifacts. The young man, undeterred by the absence of the treasures, recounted his vision to the old man and concluded by saying, "Since everything else in my vision has been accurate, I assume that the riches are hidden here somewhere. Please hand them over to me." The old man was silent for some time, looking intently at the young man, his eyes glistening. After a while, he spoke. "It's strange," he said. "I too had a dream. I dreamed of a young man in Istanbul who looked exactly like you." "Yes, go on," implored the young man, certain that this information would lead to his treasures. The old man proceeded to describe the street on which the young man lived in Istanbul. He described the young man's mother and father, his siblings, his friends at work, and the books on his walls of his simple room. "In my vision," said the old man, "the greatest treasure, more precious than all the shiny rocks and metals of the world, was there, on a small cot in that room." The young man suddenly realized what the old man meant. In that moment, he saw that his existence, his very being, was all the treasure he would ever want or need. A profound peace came over him. He bowed to the wise man, taking his leave, and returned home to Istanbul, where he lived out his quiet days. I think this story highlights how we confuse money, jewels, and treasures as being more important than the peace we find within ourselves. That's why this month's inspiration, I should say this month's homework, is to find your inner peace. Peace is described in the dictionary as a state of tranquility and harmony, free from violence and conflict.
Inner peace is freedom from fear. Inner peace shows you in that moment that you are safe and secure. Too many of us look outside of ourselves for things that we feel will improve our lives, such as money, jewels, or treasures. But if we look back at our childhoods, we will remember that we did have peace, feel safe and secure, and free from fear and in harmony with those around us. It's only when we grew up and became adults that we lost that sense of inner peace and began to look for it outside of ourselves. How many times have people said, "I will, when I get a raise, then I can relax. Oh, when I meet that special someone, then I can calm down. Oh, when I get my career, then I'll be happy and peaceful." Since our resonance decides what we draw into our lives, it's crazy to say, "When I get this, then I will be peaceful or calm or relaxed." We get to choose what we feel each and every moment. This is why we must reconnect to our sense of inner peace, knowing that we are safe and secure and free from hostility and violence and free from fear each time we reconnect to our inner peace. When we connect to our inner peace, we become more compassionate for others. We connect to our inner peace, we become more accepting of others' paths and journeys without judgment. In other words, we practice to each their own. When we connect to our inner peace, we are living in a stress-free state of calmness. Now, let's say you don't know how to find your inner peace. Here are a few tips of how to connect to your inner peace. Number one, meditate. Calm your mind down. Use instrumental music to aid you on that journey. Go to your safe, loving inner space where you feel calm and relaxed each and every day. Number two, take a break from social media. Log off. In truth, what you need is found inside of you, not online. So log off. Don't go to Facebook. Don't go to Instagram. Don't go to TikTok. Number three, practice breath work like they do in yoga. If you want to practice yoga, that's a great way to do it. But if you don't, just practice breathing slowly and deeply and holding it in between each breath. Number four, be in nature. One of the quickest ways to relieve your stress, whether it's in a city park, a backyard, or on top of a mountain, nature is the quickest way to connect to your inner peace. Number five, laugh as much as you can. Laughter raises your vibration, reminds you not to take life so seriously. And lastly, number six, be kind to everyone you meet, especially yourself. Remember that you are lovable, loving, and loved, and that you therefore deserve only your kindness. Wrap your arms around yourself and around others. Inner peace is not something you can buy because it's free. It lives within you. So make this month's homework part of your daily life and practice inner peace. The more you practice, the more you reflect to those around you to also do the same. Inner peace is something we need much more of and could literally change this world. That's why it's this month's spiritual homework. I'm Geoffrey McClellan on Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Geoffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices, and it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Geoffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Geoffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Eclectic Talk with a positive twist. HealthyLife.net.
Thanks for joining me. I hope you got some inspiration, some information, and some spiritual homework that will move you forward. And please follow me on Facebook or Instagram. Also, check out my website at MySpiritualCommonSense.com. I have great blogs there, and you can read a little bit about my books on my website. I hope I've left you with some things that no longer serve you and picked up some things that celebrate you and who you are becoming. And remember, you are glorious, magnificent, and stunning in the universe's eyes, and have always been and will always be lovable, loving, and loved. Until next time, be the light the world needs and have love for all. This is Joffrey McClung for Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. Have a joyful, loving, self-loving month.